So let's make a bit, make a start and then give it on the base. First part of it is very straightforward. Let's go from Tanachas Le Nifnesu Le Nomel. It's about 15 lines up or so, I'm guessing. Then give it on the base. Tanachas Le Nifnesu Le Nomel. This is the trigonometry, so at the beginning. Got that, right?
15 lines from the bottom.
I'm guessing, I haven't counted it. 15, 20.
Beginning of the line.
So one time, it says, they didn't get into, they were on a ship, they didn't get into the port until Shabbos had already come in. And he told them, don't worry, I looked through my special tube and I can tell you, I checked before Shabbos came in, we were already within 2,000 amas of the port, nothing to worry about. Tana, it's been taught. Rabbi Gamliel had this special tube. Shoyim Mabit, the Sefer Bo Alpayim Amo by Yabosha. He was able to look through it exactly 2,000 amos on dry land. Connect off Alpayim Bayom. That's not at that time he gauged. He measured it beforehand. He could looking through the tube it was 2,000 amos. So now he knew this tube was perfect for a 2,000 amo sighting. And therefore he used that to be able to measure what went on the boat, the 2,000 amos, to the port. So how does that work? So Rashi, again, so first we'll just go with Rashi and tell you what Rashi says. I know people had Ha'oros, I know this is what Rashi says. Simply, he took a tube, and depending on various factors, how wide the eye hole is, how long the tube is, and various other things, it will affect the amount of light that comes in, and therefore the distance that you're able to see. And therefore Rashi says, what he did was, he got the tube perfectly tuned, attuned, that he could see an object at a distance of 2,000 amas, not an amma less, not an amma more, and that's the tube that he carried with him on the ship. And therefore, as they were coming towards the port, you could see the sun setting, he took out his tube, he had a look, and he could see, yes, I can see an object beyond the port, we're within 2,000 amps. That's it. Again, I know people raised various issues about, if there's more light around, it's obviously going to affect it, depending on potentially the size of the object. Again, we're talking about one person, but this was made for Rav Gamliel, so he knew his eyesight was constant. We're not talking about different people, because that obviously could affect things. But let's just go with that for the time being. Now the Gemara goes on. It says, "Harita leida kamo imko shel gai." If a person wants to know the depth of a valley, have we got an answer for that? So we say yes. Maybe shveferas. You should bring along a tube. Now, according to Rashi, the Meiri points out in Chiddush HaMeiri, this is not the tube of Rav Gamliel. They're not talking about any 2,000 amas. That was designed specifically for 2,000 amas. Well, it's not going to help me here if the valley is deeper than 2,000 amas, right? If it's less than 2,000 amas, it could be, it'll be all right. But if it's deeper than that, his tube's not going to help me. So now what I do is, I bring a tube, umamit bo, and a person takes a look through it, and once again, v'yeda kamo imka shagai, you look through it, and then you can know the depth of the valley. Rashi explains, the idea behind it is like this. Once I know how far I can see through this tube, so I know the distance I can see, so what I do is, I go to the edge of this valley, and again we are assuming that it's a very steady decline down to the bottom, not that you've got things jutting out which are going to obstruct any vision, and fine, I can see the bottom of the valley. I start moving, call it upwards or outwards, but again it's got to be in a way that if you just move backwards, then you're obviously not going to be able to see over the edge. So it has to be in such a way that you can still see down to the bottom. And the minute you suddenly you keep moving backwards, you're looking through it, suddenly you say, I'm looking through it, I can't see the bottom of the valley anymore. If an object is the bottom of the valley, then you know you've hit the point, right? That is the full distance. So in other words, again, if let's say your tube is such that I can see 3,000 amas through it. I know that's the distance I can see through it. So I go to the edge of the valley, I look down, I can see the bottom. So I know this valley can't be deeper than 3,000 amas. So I start moving upwards, I can still see the bottom, so it's less than 3,000. I move back, now if I go any further, I can't see the bottom of the valley. So I measure how far I've gone back, 500 amas, so what is the depth of the valley? Again, without getting into the slope rather than the actual depth of the actual drop, you have to deal with these potential problems. There is on top of it, I know people have pointed out quite correctly, the chayra, into a valley you're going to have far less light, and therefore it probably would affect the experiment. This is what Rashi says. Okay? Now, the Me'iri in Beis HaBechira, in the Chiddush HaMe'iri he just writes very bekitzer, in Beis HaBechira he writes at greater length. He brings a teshuvah from the Ge'onim, which effectively gets around all these problems. And according to the Ge'onim, it comes out we're talking about one tube, the tube of Rav Namliel. It's one tube. It's not fixed for 2,000 amos, it's a tube. What do? This tube you can use for whatever you want. And it's just using simple trigonometry. Right? If I want to know the tchum, I want to know where the tchum ends. So what do I do? What I'm going to do is, the human height, right, the eyes are roughly, let's say, it could be roughly 4 amos. Because when we talk about the height of a person being 3 amos, Tosafot says that's with it without the head. Let's talk about 4 amos. You may have to stand on a slight stool. I know today that would be quite a tall person. Right? I mean, I'm nowhere near that. I'm the 3-armor mark, or just over, right? But let's say we're going to talk about 4 amos height, because that's just going to make the maths easy. But you can work out however you want. So he says like this. All you have to do is, you have the tube there, and it's angled with the right angle that I know it's going to see to a distance of 2,000 amos. How do I do that? Again, today you just use your trigonometry and simple, right? You know what the height is, and right? The height is 4 amps. I know I want the distance to be 2,000 amps. So you've already got two sides. Now you can work out the angle, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the height, yeah? You've got the angle there, so it's very simple, you know, using tangent, right? Right? Tan, total, right? But they do it with a simplified version of trigonometry. What they do is they say like this. You take a piece of paper, since you can even do it on a piece of paper, and you draw a triangle, and the height of it is 1 etzba, the length is, when I say the length, not the diagonal, right, the length is 500 etzbois. Yep. And then you draw a diagonal to connect the 2 points. That is the exact angle you're going to be dealing with. So what you now do is, right, because I know now the ratio is 1 to 500, so what I do is I now take my telescope tube, and I fix it, and I take the piece of paper and I fix it on that line, and now I just make sure as I move it upwards I keep it parallel to that line, because it's all fixed on the tripod at that point, and I can raise it up, and no matter how high I raise it, the angle is gonna stay the same, the incline, the tilt, whatever you want to call it, is the same. So I raise it up now 4 amos, and I know now the distance I'm going to be able to see the horizontal is going to be 2,000 amos. Right? So with this you don't get into any problems with the light or anything like that. That's what Rav Gamliel did. He knew, sit on the ship, he had at the right angle now, he knew if he could see the port, he's within 2,000 amps. Fantastic. Now, what about the next case, the case of the valley? He doesn't spell it out. I'm putting a little bit together here, but if it's here, you need maybe a little bit more trigonometry to work it out. But he says, again, we're obviously talking about where the diagonal, you know, the slope, that's what I want to write. The slope is consistent, because if you've got things jutting out, it's not gonna work. So he says, look, to work out what the distance across the valley is, directly across the valley, that's very simple. All you do is you stand at the edge of the valley, yeah? Got your tripod with the tube on it. You raise it to whatever height, it really doesn't make a slight bit of difference. Yeah? You raise it up, okay, you're at a comfortable height. Now you look through the tube and you move it down, down, down till you can see the other side, the other edge of the valley, the opposite side. Correct? Once you do that, tighten it so it doesn't move. Now swivel it round, you know, undo the little thing on the tripod to allow it to swivel around 180 degrees. So now you can look in the opposite direction, which is just that flat ground. You look through it, you get somebody, you say, to put an object there, at the point where you can see, say stop, up there, put the stone down there. And then you just take a tape measure, and you measure from the point where the tripod is, all the way over to that stone, and you now know the distance across the valley. Fine, so I've got the distance across the valley. Then he said that if you want to know that, that's very simple. In terms of the depth of it, so again, a lot's going to depend on whether you want to know the, like you said, the distance of the slope, whether you want to know the drop. If it's a drop, then you're going to have to use trigonometry. But if you've got the distance across, it may depend on whether it's uniform and things like that. If it would be uniform, it would be very nice, because then I just measure from halfway across. So I know the distance across. I know what the drop is, the x value, that's what I want to know. Yeah? The slope, that I can work out based on using this same trick again, that I can work out how far down I can see by angling it, etc., etc. Work out the angle, and then potentially we can work out the drop. The main point is, it's using trigonometry, basically. And according to the Gaonim, therefore, it is, you don't have this problem, in theory, you shouldn't have this problem of light factors, that's one point. And the other thing is, we're not talking about a different tube now. We're talking about one tube. We're talking about the tube of Ramazandia, which can be used for both. But let's move on. Next one. The person wants to know the height of a palm tree. Now, he can't climb up it because it's a bit dangerous. So what should he do? Well, what he should do is, Modid Komoso, he should measure his own height. Measure your height. The Tzilai, measure the shadow of the palm tree. The Tzel Komoso, and measure the shadow of your height. And then you know the height of the decal, because different times of the day will give different ratios of one height to one shadow. But whatever the ratio is of your height to your shadow, the length of your shadow, it's going to be, it should be the same for the palm tree. So let's say your shadow is double the length of your height, then you know whatever you measure the shadow of the decal to be, the height will be half of that, and so on and so forth. Very simple. Next. Horeite shalo tishre chayoro betel keder. If a person wants to, you've got a freshly, it's not dug, but a fresh keder, somebody's just been buried there, and you want to build a matseva, but matseva means like it's a mound of earth. It's very important to have a matseva there, matseva is a big inyan. But you want to build it in such a way and angle it in such a way that wild animals won't come and take shade. Because if they take shade there, then they'll sniff the dead body and go and dig up the dead body. So we just need it for that period of time, that you know that time. So if a person wants to know Shalo Tishret Chayoro B'Tel Keder, he wants to organize things in such a way that these wild animals won't take shade in the shadow of the keder. So no Kone with other shows by him. What you should do is put a stick into the ground at 4 hours into the day. Now you see, 4 hours into the day is the time of day when it's hot in the sun, but in the shade it's nice and cool. As opposed to before 4 hours in the day, it's not yet at the peak of the heat. And later on, yeah, it'll get hotter till midday. There's different, midday is even hotter. But by midday, you don't really gain anything by going to the shade. Even the shady spots are also rather hot. So the time when the animals are going to be looking for a shady spot is 4 hours into the day. So put a stick into the ground at 4 hours in the day, by yom in the day. The year of the hikon tilanote, and then look, where does the shadow go? Right, look which direction it goes, a bit like a sundial basically. And then mashpi avayoy, and now make sure that you slope the matseva in those directions, such that at 4 hours in the day now, there won't be any shadow, because you've done it such with the right gradient in the right direction. Now 4 hours in the day, for this period of time at least, because obviously summer, winter, things can change, but later on, once the body is decomposed, I don't really have this problem. It's just for these few weeks, whilst the body is decomposing, that's where we have the issue. So, you do it such that there will be no shadow during the 4 hours of that point of the day, and then you've got nothing to worry about. You're going to say, but when the sun moves, the fifth hour, sixth hour. So Rashi says two things. Number one, once the animal comes in 4 hours in the day, it doesn't find a shady spot, it moves on somewhere else. It doesn't come back in. They don't know what you've done. That's point number one. And point number two is, later on in the day, it's not really looking for shady spots, because it's going to be hot in the shady spots anyway.
Fine. Is this a proof that they didn't bury people in coffins?
I don't know if they can smell. Could be. I mean, directly into the ground.
Otherwise, they'd have to gnaw through the wood, whatever.
Yeah. Could be. Okay.
That's when these dig shallow grave. Now you go very deep, the animal doesn't go there that far because they can't smell it anyway. Years ago, you used to dig shallow grave because it was very difficult to dig in the ground. Today, you have a tractor. 2 seconds, you go all the depth, you want stone or no stone.
There is a certain depth, which is standard, but yeah.
Today is a standard, okay, but years ago, I mean, my parents were telling me, like in Yemen, they just move few stones, they put them down, and they put the stone on top, and that's it.
Sometimes
they
have people buried on top of each other.
No, not buried on top of each other.
I'm saying that
today, today is crazy, completely.
No, I'm talking about even without them, so like in the ground, but.
That's the time of the Ma'arot.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
No, even without the Ma'arot. In the ground, even. There are makaris for such a thing. We don't do it. But people being buried.
They were buried the same family.
They dig double the depth, bury the person, fill up the ground, then you bury somebody on top. Yeah, that's not the. It's not
they
the
did for the family. When they did for
it
the family.
Be, it could be. Yeah. Anyway, fine. Next Gemara, here we go with the. This is the Gemara that takes us through to the end of the Sugya. Nechemya, Bereid Rab Chani Loi. So, Nechemya, son of Rab Chani Loi, Moshachti Shemaito, his learning drew him out, and he went outside from the Kitzi. He was fatif in his learning, it was Shabbos, and he was walking around completely oblivious to his surroundings. Next thing he knew, he was outside of the school. So now the halacha is, he's got to stay within his Dalad Amos. So, Omari Rab Chisda and Rab Nachman. Rav Chisda comes running in, he says to Rav Nachman, he says, Nechemya Talmid Chol Shori B'Tzar. Nechemya Yo Talmid, he's in Tzar, he's stuck in his Dalad Amos, he's B'Tzar. So, Om Aloi, so Rav Nachman said to him, Asei Loi Mechitzo Shabani Odom, make a Mechitzo of people on either side of him and on the third side as well, which the economist will allow him to come all the way back to the Tzum and come back in. Fine. Now, before we go any further, the Chayra from this Gemara, we have a Kasha on the Ramah in Siman Tov Dalet. The Ramah says in Siman Tov Dalet that if a person arrives on a ship and he's starting to come from outside the Tzchum, so what's the halacha? He's got to stay within his Dalet Amos, correct?
Yeah.
He says, but if he's Bitzar, because it's going to rain, it's very hot, so the halacha is he's allowed to get off the ship and go find a sheltered spot. Exactly like we have in Siman Tov Vov. The Gemara earlier on Membeis, about the person who stuck outside in his Dalad Amos, and he said that if he needs, because of COVID Abrius, he needs to go to be excused, and this is not a suitable spot, he's allowed to go find a suitable spot. And if it so happens to be, he's a Pekeah, instead of going looking for the suitable spot in the direction which is taking him further from his original Tzuchum, no, go towards his original Tzuchum. So to be our local there in Siman Tov Vov, Mashman from the Rosh, even if I know there is a very close spot, if I were to go to the opposite direction, I'm not okay to do that. But the first spot that you do find when you go searching, you have to stop there. So it comes along the Ramah.
But that means we are in the Tazan and what? We are within the
Tazan. Oh, that's it. If he's a Pekeah, we go in the direction of his original Tzchum, and if he gets back inside his 2000 Amos, that's where the first suitable spot is. Good for him, it's his lucky day. But, says the Ramah in Siman Tov Dalet, it's not only because of Kovod Abrius, who are they, if it's because of, he can't stay there, Tzar, the rain, sun, same thing, brings it from the Azorah, like Rosh Mamonius, Mordechai, fine. Nu, we've got a Kasha from our Gemara. Over here, it says, Nechemya Talmid Chol Shori B'Tzar. But if he's Shori B'Tzar, what's the problem?
Should be able to move,
find a spot where he's not the Tzar. So Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Harav asked this question. We found the Shulchan Aruch Harav is Ma'ir on this in Siman Tov Dalet, right? It's given there, but it's in the it's a small, tiny little Ha'ori. He says, look at this Gemara of a Tzorachiyah. He leaves at Tzorachiyah. The Sefer Nesiva is Shabbos, that's Rabbi Yaakov Yeshaya Bloy. He says maybe this is Torah himself as well. He says maybe there's a chiluk between Where a person is betar from outside elements, he needs to be excused. It's not a suitable spot. Or if let's say it's sunny, it's raining. That we allow. But where the tzar is, the gezeirah of Chazal, you have to send your dalet amos. Well, hal kufa, that was the point of Chazal. That's the halacha, you have to send your dalet amos. I is betar, okay, well, Torah, you know, not always is Torah going to be, although there are chad arfinam, but sometimes you learn your lesson the hard way. Sometimes it's not even your fault. But Azai is. Maybe, he says, maybe you can make such a chiddush. Well, it is the Torah here. So we actually suggested something else, and I'm going to add a different nekuda to it. We suggested that it could be that, look, Rav Chita comes running in, he says, Nechenyo tamim cho shori b'tzar. Who says he's shori b'tzar? Chita. It could be Nechenyo himself says, no, I'm not moving from here. I'm just fine here. Chazal tell me to stay in my Dalet Amos, I'm fine here. Maybe he's even being machmir on himself. He doesn't want to rely on the hetzer to go outside Dalet Amos. Ultimately, it's a hetzer. He says, no, I'll stay here. So if Chista is looking to try and care for somebody else, he says, look, the fact is, I'm telling you, it's uncomfortable thing. We have to look for an hetzer. To tell him the hetzer that he can leave his Dalet Amos, he's not going to do it. He's being machmir on himself. He's claiming he's fine. I'm looking for an hetzer that will allow him to leave without any problem. Without him to rely on Shori B'Tzar. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's told, yeah, we've got a hetzer. That is by making with the Tamidim. But then it occurred to me, you could say a bit of a chak, you could say puntaket, that Nechemio was a very, very, unsurprisingly, a very clever man. He understood, if I leave because I'm Shori B'Tzar, how far will that take me?
Back into the tchum.
Potentially back into the tchum. Yeah. But if, you know what, if I encounter a spot, which is not Shori B'Tzar, maybe a spot where it's a fenced in area which is bigger than four amos, so we're telling you what the tzar is, we're assuming it's because he's confined to the Dalet Amos. It could be for some other reason. Then I'm going to be stuck there. Right? Yeah. Ah, you're going to say, but anyone can make me a mechitza? No one going to be interested in me. The only reason anyone's interested right now is, why? Because they feel sorry for me. I don't want to compromise that. I want people to feel sorry for me. And the biggest riot is, you know what the biggest riot is? These people are going out to help him, to make this mechitza. Remember, it's got to be Shalom Adas. Why are they going? Do you remember what we said? We brought from Rishonim, they say the reason why they're going out is they're going
do a chesed.
It's a chesed, but not just keeping a bit of company. That's what they thought. They didn't go there to make a mechitza. They thought they're just going there to, when somebody loses, to when you share somebody's pain.
Commiserate,
that's what I wanted, right? To commiserate with him, something like that, right? That's what they were sharing to say. Because remember, they're not going there to make a mechitza. So why are they going there? How are you getting them to go there? You tell them, oh, because Nebuch, he's stuck out there. Go keep him, give him a bit of company, a bit of chizuk. Fine, people will do that. I'm not schlepping out there if he's perfectly comfortable. How are you going to get anyone to go? You're not going to be able to get anyone to go. No one's going to take any notice. He says, I'll stay here. Kolman, I'm sure you're bizarre. People are going to take notice. So then we've got the possibility to get him back into the tchum. But if he relies on the heter of Naradoi, well, if you're the tzar, you can leave your Dalet Amos, he's going to have to stop at the first available opportunity. And if that so happens to be outside of the tzchum, he's not going to be able to go home on Shabbos.
The only thing is when we're Shori B'Tzar. So the only reason is...
Correct. Because once you're not Shori B'Tzar, you've got no heter to go any further. In all likelihood, yeah, he'll make it back into the tzchum. That will be the first place. But there's no guarantee.
But even if he isn't, he won't be B'Tzar anymore. So he'll go.
Huh?
So he won't be B'Tzar. If it's in the Shori B'Tzar where he is now, and if he goes to, he's allowed to go to the Shori B'Tzar, then he finds someone which is pleasant. So he stays there. I mean, I'm saying.
Correct,
is
but he's better. Correct, but what he really wants is to be able to go home.
He wants to say what's going to.
He wants to go home. His
home is even better.
But then you can see, so okay, even he's being machmeh on himself, that's why he's not
really
knows
what's really going on. Because they've got problems.
Then potentially.
So you've got problems.
We want to know, that's our question. Why, if you say that Allah is out to move out, why is he not moving out? So I'm suggesting two possibilities. I mean, I've got to tell our doctor. One is, he doesn't want to rely. Now he says, I'm fine. Rav Chisda is the one who's taking pity on him. He says, I'm not moving out, I'm not the tzar. I don't want to rely on that. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, no, Pumpfaker, he is the tzar. He says, let people, you know, feel sorry for me, and then we may be able to sort something out.
Yeah, there's that problem with the Rambam with that, of course, because they're held
in
the
if he knows about it.
Yeah,
okay. Enough. If you go with the Rambam, you may have a problem. Yeah, okay. I worked this afternoon on a possible mahalish based on this, the next sugya on Endavid on the date, whether you could start making a whole cheshbon about who says he agrees with Nazari. Remember, Rashi says over there, not everyone agrees with Nazari. The problem is, when you work with that, it's not necessarily going to help you, because then, fine, you make the mechita, it's not going to be, it'll get back into the tchum, because it's not allowed to go home. Everything's all tied together. If you don't hold the Nazoi, it's because you don't hold the Avloah Astachumin. If you don't hold the Avloah Astachumin, then even if you get this...
But once you're in Tchum, but your Tchum, you don't really have a lot.
You may not be able to go back home.
But to be in your own Tchum then, right? You're not have a lot.
No, because remember, you've been outside. So this, you can't allow both together.
So you give up the one you... But this is a slightly different situation, just making a...
No.
Go there and they just go in.
Remember, this going the Shus of the Rabbon, is even one footstep outside, you can't go home, you know, you can go back in. It's not so simple. I don't think that's so simple. But again, the Rambam makes very clear over here that what we're looking for is an Eitzah to land to go home. Because if you're not going to get him home, then he says he's still showing the Tzar. Again, he's going with that thing that the Tzar is he's not going home. But go on, yeah.
If he's not allowed to go all the way back home, he'll still feel uncomfortable.
Oh, that's a good spot. That's a good spot. That's what I just said. But so potentially,
what you say.
But that's only, but again, the Rambam says why? Because he's stuck in his Daladam. Oh, I'm saying to you, if he finds a place along the way which is a nice big open area, not open, closed in, but it's a big area, he's not going to be fenced into Daladamas, because that whole thing becomes his Daladamas. He can be cleared to go in there. He's got to take the first available opportunity where he's not the tzar. So he won't necessarily get back into the tzum to land to go home. That's what we have to realize. Okay, fine. Now, that's one Nakuda. Another Nakuda is that it's well pointed out over here. We have Iraya from here to the shift he mentions on them based on another. Although there's a Makhlik there, the Ra'ah, if you remember the Ra'ah, the Ra'an, and the Halacha, it's all a Makhlik. It's about if a person is, remember the case over there, he's in the Bikr, and he goes 2,000 Amos, then somebody comes and builds a big Mechita around him, he's not allowed to go to the other area. And the Shaila is, right, to the beyond the 2,000 Amos.
Right.
Fine. What happens if some goyim come along and pick him up and put him in the other area? Do we allow him now the whole area or not? Two different shittas there. Initially the Ritzvon say yes, the Ra'ah says no, the Ram says yes, and Yaakov, there's a whole lot to do about that. Fine. Why? Because Bizman, the Mechitza, was built, he was already there, and he wasn't allowed to go beyond the 2,000 numbers. So it could be then, that will never change. Fine. But says the Ritzvon at the end of it. But don't think that the heter to walk within the whole thing, that the whole thing is considered kedaladamis, is only if the mechitzas are there before he arrives. No. If a person is dumped in the middle of nowhere, and there's no mechitzas, he only got daladamis, and then goyim come and build mechitzas around, so from the moment they build the mechitzas, we're going to give them the whole area, then the chami have the whole area. Says the Ritzvah over here, and here is my raya. Here's my raya. Because Nehemiah is stuck outside, he's got daladamis. They're going to come and build mechitzas around him.
But they're
and
not going.
We're going to give him.
But they're not going.
No, I'm really going. The concept over there, because normally you can't build mechitzas with Yidda. Normal mechitzas you can't build with Yidda.
Yeah, but the. Okay.
It's a special case. It was like normal.
The other case you spoke about was goyim coming.
It doesn't make sense. That's just because of the problem behind building mechitzas. Normally you can't build mechitzas with Yidda. Okay, fine. So the question is, what do you do with the Rambam? Because the Rambam over there disagrees. The Rambam says we will never allow more than 2,000 amos. He can't be better off than what he started out with. The Rambam says 2,000 amos. He disagrees with that. Here we're saying, as far as the Rizwa is saying, no matter how big it is, who cares? He's only got double amos, so fine. When they build the mechitas, no matter how big it is, it's one big Rosh Hashanah.
So what's Rambam saying? You can only have 2,000.
We'll never give them more than 2,000 amos. If they build mechitas bigger than 2,000 amos, we can't give them more than that. So we're not going to give them more.
That's the general deal in all of these things.
So the Rider challenges it. So the answer to that is, the Rambam will say over here, and Achan, he hasn't gone out 2,000 amos. He's gone 500 amos out. So it will get him back into the Tchum, and then I'll ask the Tchum and we'll allow him to go home. That's not a problem. And we're not talking about more than 2,000 amas. It says that it's far. This is the makar for this idea that Avada, when Avada, if, when the mechitzas are built, he was already there, that's not a problem.
So Rambam goes like, the difference between the Ritva and his Rebbe, the Ra, he would go like the Ra.
No. The Rambam's like a Mashiach, it's a new Shifa.
But the Ra still has to stay where he is.
No.
And it's two, but then it's
no, they're two different things.
So even though he had 2,000 amas?
The Ra is talking about a case where the guy was there, and he had 2,000 amas.
Yes.
Bisman, they built
the Ritva. Yes.
That's a completely different case. I'm not talking about that.
But isn't the
because there are all will agree. There are all will agree in the case that you've only got thalad amas, and they build the chitzis around you. You can have as much as you want.
Right.
The Rambam says not so.
In this particular case, where you've got thalad amas, you can only get 2,000. That's it.
Now, let's go on the Gemara first. Yeah, so the Gemara writer. Yotir Rav Nachman Yitzchok Acheri D'Rava. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok was sitting behind Rava. The Yosef Rava came to Rav Nachman, and Rava was sitting in front of Rav Nachman. Basically, had Rav Nachman, he was the Rebbe, he was the one who just gave that pesach. He was sitting there. In front of him is Rava, facing him, and behind Rava is Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Okay? So Tosis points out from here that you see Stam Rav Nachman is? Rav Nachman by
Yitzchok.
And he brings out the rise to it, but he says clearly that is the correct way of doing it, not like Rashi and Gittin. Rashi and Gittin says that Stam Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Okay, you've got different Mahalkam out to explain the Gemara over there. Why Rav Nachman by Yitzchok? Well, Rav Nachman didn't go, why didn't Rav Nachman Stam go along to the Reish Golosa? Rashi learns because it's because Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, and Rav Nachman by Yitzchok is Chasson on the Reish Golosa, so he doesn't need them, right? Whereas according to Tosfos, the Peshat is no. Stam Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman by Yaakov. He was an Oshir. Right? He was just a
Yitzchok.
No, that's Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Not the Rishkul, it's the Chasson of the Rishkul. That's Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. So, fine, again, there's throughout Shas, there's Rise of the Khan of the Khan, well, Mashma Uyas of the Khan of the Khan. This Gemara is Zecha Mashma, Stam Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman by Yaakov. Fine. So, that's the setup. So, Amalei Rav Nachman by Yitzchok to Rabba. So, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok said to Rabba, my komikoye leider Rav Chista. What is Rav Chista's sophic? Rav Chista comes running and he's saying, Nu, what can we do? Right? Now, before we go on, so Tosfos, who's clearing what the shaila is? With the gerusa we've got is Rav Nachman Yitzchok saying to Rava. He taps him on the shoulder. Right? Remember, you've got Rav Nachman sitting in the front, Rava, and Nachman Yitzchok in the back. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he taps Rava on the shoulder and he says, you just saw what happened there. Rav Chista came running in. What was the shaila? What were the two stolen? Yeah? And he's going to give a couple of possibilities. Says Tosfos, no, that gives is incorrect. How do I know that? Because we're going to see two possibilities as to what the Shaila may have been. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But later on, Rav Nachman Yitzchok on Memdalad Amadalad is going to question the whole idea of making a mechitza with people. Who are you allowed to make a mechitza with people on Shabbos? And he's going to question it. So if the one who is speaking over here is Rav Nachman Yitzchok, there is a third possibility as to what the sophic was. Is it not to make a mechitza with people? That should have been a sophic as well. Akhide Kafti, he says it shouldn't be mutter. Elamai, he says the correct gerusa is Rava speaking of it, not Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Rava is wondering what's going on. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok comes in later when he questions the whole idea of mechitza of people. Now the question is, what do we do? I don't think we answered this when we did it in the shir. I don't think we gave much of pshat to these. Well, we gave a bit and we're just going to add on a bit now. What is the pshat according to the gerusa we have? What's part of the answer to that? And I think the answer to that is, the key to it maybe starts with the Me'iri. The Me'iri says, Avada Rav Chista knew that there is a solution. He just didn't know what the solution was. Those are the words that he points out. And I think therefore what's going on over here is like this. I think what happens is, Rav Chista comes running in. From what he asked, it's very clear, right, that he understood that you can make a mechitza with people. His shayla is, well, that's the shayla. Do we pass on a Rabbi Gamliel? Maybe that was a shayla. Maybe a shayla is, but we don't have enough people. But it was very clear that he obviously gave over to Rabbi Nachman, I have people. Because otherwise, why did Rabbi Nachman say, I say the mechitza shabbat? Who says there's people available? No, clearly he gave over to Rabbi Nachman, yes, I've got people. Now, what's the shaila? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak understood from that that clearly that wasn't his shaila. His shaila wasn't about whether you're allowed to make a mechitza with people. That would be my shaila, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak. I'm going to question that later on. But what I want to know right now is what was his topic, and that's actually the lashon that it's for as well. What was his topic? Not what's my topic. I would be mistaken about whether you're allowed to make with people, as I'm going to ask afterwards. But right now, first thing I want to know is what was his topic. I understand from his question that wasn't the topic by him. That's my topic. And with this, by the way, you can answer another question. I've got a fourth possibility what the shayla could have been. Now that we've prepared on Shabbos, the next figure on Shabbos days, why can he come in and say, maybe the shayla could have been, do we say Abdullah Ashman Pizza's work? So very nice, we're going to make him a chitz with people, we're going to get him inside, will that help him, will that get him home? If you hold on last mechitz for the work, according to Rashi, going with Rashi, then he's not going to be able to go home anyway, he's going to still be stuck in his Dalai Lama, he'll still be stuck. Why didn't he entertain that as a possibility? The answer is just clearly that wasn't something, I can see from the question that Rav Chista had, that wasn't a possibility. That wasn't his topic. Somebody else's topic could be like that. But I'm not dealing with other people. I want to know what was Rav Chista's topic. And I can see that Havlat Tuchumen wasn't a topic by him. The hesitating mechitza with people wasn't a topic. So what was his topic? I've got two possibilities. And that's what we're going to go on and see what the two possibilities are. Mm-hmm. What my topic would have been, we'll deal with afterwards. So what are the two possibilities? So, Ilema, see, seven. My controversy, if you say, but the modern Gabriel Kinan that we're dealing with, there's plenty of people there. Enough people to make mechitzas all the way back to the old Tukhul. The common boyle and the shayla therefore was Hilchasok Rabban Gamliel, but the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, or Ein halacha Rabban Gamliel, or maybe the halacha is not like Rabban Gamliel. Meaning to say, Rabban Gamliel is the one who says that if a person is inside an area which has mechitzas, then the whole area is like it's Aladam. Then we can move around it like it's Aladam. And therefore he's saying, I've got the people, I can make the big area, but I want to know, do we pass out Rabban Gamliel or not? That's one possibility. Right? That's one possibility. Or perhaps, but the Lomoli, Moru Gabe Askina, we're dealing with, there's not enough people to get him all the way back. The common boyle and his shayla is, halacha Rabbi Eliezer, or in halacha Rabbi Eliezer. Is halacha like Rabbi Eliezer or not? Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that if a person steps outside of the tzchum, let's say 2 amas, some say even 4 amas, but let's just stick with 2 amas, right? Then you're allowed to go back in. 2 amas is, that allows you back in. So he says, I have enough people to get into that last 2 amas. Is he allowed to then walk in? Right? So Tosfos says, well, what's the problem? If you know about Rabban Gamliel, you're stopping only because of Rabbi Eliezer, what's the problem? Once Nechemiah starts walking, get the people at the back to walk to the front and fill in the last 2 amas. And for Tosfos, no. Because remember the rule is, the mechitza has to be constructed without the idea at least of the people making the mechitza. You could do it the first time, but once they see Nechemiah walking, they know what you're doing now. Now that's not a problem, says the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah says it's not a problem if they know subsequently. But if you ask them to go to the front, you're now asking to make a new mechitza, that is going to be a problem. And therefore that isn't an issue. Bez Hashem, we're going to speak more about, I haven't finished my set, in terms of a movable mechitza, that's the Rosh Hashanah. That will link up to it, but I'm going to speak about it with Bez Hashem when we get to it on Mdala Dom Viz, because that's the source for the Rosh. Fine, but that definitely seems to be the board from this status, based on the Ritzvah. The Hakpoza is they mustn't know about it at the time of the making of the Mechitza, because otherwise, what's the Shas and Tosfos? Fine, that's one Nekuda. The other Nekuda says Tosfos is that, okay, if we've got enough people to get him back in, right? So we want to know, that's one possibility, and if we don't have enough people to get him back in, then, let me go the other way around. If we have enough people to get him back in, then even if we don't pass him over there, it'll be alright. Yeah? So Tosfos, but hold on a second. Let me ask you a question. So it comes out, according to the Rabbonon, if a person's 1 amma outside, he's stuck. If you don't have enough people to get him in, 1 amma, even 1 amma is no good. Only Rabbi Eliezer will allow. Says, I don't understand. But if you've got Dalai Lamas, everyone agrees you've got Dalai Lamas. So if you walk Dalai Amas in the direction of the Tzchun, you're now back in. So Rabbanan is going to disagree with that. So So remember, on Shabbos we pointed out, that Hashem will get to it on Mandala on days. Rashi seems to say, I'm highly. There's those who don't agree with this, you said, E-O-O. You know, it depends on our last comment. But Tosis takes on, no, about the point to everyone, this should work. So Tosis says that you're saying, he said, no, because he says, and if you say, no, it doesn't work, I'm a Hanani, it has you to go back in, that's it. And then he says, what's it going to help if you have enough people to get you all the way back to the Tchum, according to Rabban? So very good, it gets you back into the Tchum. And then what? Why are you asking any further? And for Tosis with the Yosef, because when a person's got Dalet Amos, you've got a bubble. Dalet Amos is a bubble, it's a mockery, it's not a Tchum. That's the way we explained it. It's nothing to do with Abraham's Tchum, it's a mockery. And therefore the water is like this. If a person is standing one amma outside, he walks in, he's still inside his Dalet Amos. You're stuck. You're stuck in your Dalet Amos. I don't care about your back in your Tchum. So what? You're stuck in that bubble. Masha Einkein, if a person is stuck all the way out, 500 amas away, and either, point one, he needs to be excused. So now he's broken the bubble. He's with a heter, he's allowed to leave his Dalet Amos. He doesn't have Dalet Amos. Or they make a big mechitza around him, which also allows him to go outside of his individual Dalet Amos. So when he arrives back into his Tchum, we say, okay, the mechitza's up, you've got your mokum now for Kovod Abriyot, right, now we're going to give you another Dalet Amos. Hold on, why are you giving me another Dalet Amos now? Why? I'm inside my Tchum. Good point, we're not going to give you Dalet Amos now. Masha Engine, if a person is stuck even one Amma outside, he's got his Dalet Amos. And therefore, that's why he's going to
come.
And therefore, if the mechitza doesn't take you all the way there, so it takes you 2 hours outside, you stop there, you've got Dalet Amos. You're not back in your Tchum yet, you've got Dalet Amos, and that will stop you going back inside your Tchum. I just want to finish this Nekudah, right? Let me just finish. The Gemara says, Peshita, it's obvious, three lines down, but we must begin with a case where there's not enough people to take him all the way in. But if you think that we're talking about there are enough people to take him back in, might they boil it? Then what's the shida? For Omar Rav, surely Rav has already said, Aloch HaKarabu Gamdiel, Bidir Vesah, Rusfina, Aloch HaKarabu Gamdiel, all cases, animal pen, Sfina, you can walk the whole thing. Right, by the way, the Rosh and other Rishonim bring, that we paskin like that. Even though the Brisa said not like that, we paskin like Rav, that's the way we have to be paskin. Erobabai Rav, it must be, but the Rav Mordu Gabi Askin, we don't have enough people to get him back in. With Rabbi Elazar coming right in, do we pass in a Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Elazar, to go those last 2 hours without the mechitzas. So the Gemara de Konami is also Maduik, that's the Shaydeh to Konami, because the answer he was given is Yikonis. Make the mechitza the Yikonis. What's Yikonis? My Yikonis. What's Yikonis? Mashma beyond the mechitzas. Must be. What's Yikonis? Love the mechitza. Is it not that we're talking about without the mechitza? And just Tosfos ends, by the way, he says, in case you're saying, because we're saying if. There's a modu, right? If there's enough people, what's the shadow? We're passing it around the Gambia. Well, I think it's not so posh, because not everyone agrees you can make mechitzas with living things, right? Animals and things like that. You know, I'll do this last day tomorrow.